Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk Call-In Radio Show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts. I'm just the humble co-host here, and we have with us, of course, Country Joe himself.
Joe Barber. Yeah, I'm here.
And he's the real chicken guy. And our first guest today is Susan Fugate, and she has a really interesting job. She is from the National Agricultural Library, and I bet lots of our listeners didn't even know we had such a thing. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Susan.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Boy, I got a lot of questions for you. I found you by accident on the computer, and then I got curious and called and found out you have all kinds of archives of chicken records that go way, way back.
Absolutely.
And I was curious, and I'm sure a lot of people are, but I just love the history of chickens and stuff. And I was wondering, how do you get a hold of some of this stuff or get it in the mail or whatever?
Well, I would say there are two ways we get hold of this stuff. Some of it is rather passive. We have people who offer their material to us and review it and accept donations. And also we find collections of note that would be useful to be preserved into the future. And so we actively acquire collections. And also in our general collection, as opposed to our special collections, which I'll explain next, we subscribe to journals, and we purchase materials and acquire electronic files of information for both historic and modern day poultry people.
Mm-hmm. And so
now our general collection is more of the material that is like you would find in a typical research library, and special collections is primarily manuscripts, which are the papers of individuals of note or the records of organizations, and also rare books. But in our special collections, because there's no USDA museum, we have lots of objects.
What kind of objects would you have?
Well, we have a donation of a sculpted marble rooster, which has been in several art shows. And we have a series of miniature but proportioned appropriately chicken coop designs. And we have ribbons from competitions, lots of videos and phonographs, you name it, we have it.
Now, how do you get the old stuff? I was always interested. How did you get it? I guess let's start back there.
Well, I think because quite a few researchers from the U.S. Department of Agriculture who worked in poultry, specifically with chickens, they established the American Poultry Historical Society. Also, many of them were involved in the World Poultry Science Association. And so there was an effort made before I was head of special collections, but the effort continues today, for them to collect the historic material and donate it. And for 10 years, we had two wonderful volunteers who worked here in Beltsville, Maryland, with poultry, particularly chickens, who came one day a week and helped us organize and create the indexes to the contents of the material. One of the funny things you ask about some of the objects, we have something that was developed by the University of Wisconsin, and it's called the calculator. And it appears to be about the size of a briefcase, and the feed salespeople would go to a particular farm, and they would key in particular qualities of the stock there, and they would measure the weight of the chickens and the eggs, and they would dial this information in, and then this calculator would help formulate the feed that would best suit those particular chickens.
Interesting. Now, how old do these records go back, do you have?
Well, we have some rare books that are probably from the 1700s and 1800s, so we have a lot of early material. And for the series of manuscript collections, which have a lot of correspondence, old ads, and various
often old advertising is as interesting as articles from the time.
And has much information that's valuable today. So I'd say our oldest is probably 1700s, 1800s, but many of the manuscript collections, of which we have over 60, have material that begins in the 1800s.
Wow. Well, very interesting. Now, if I wanted to get a copy.
And in fact, when I was looking through material, and I had a great time preparing for this show, I found a 1919 ad where they were selling Eggolatum. You know what that is?
No.
Well, it was this material you could buy for 50 cents, and I found it in these drugstore ads and also in ads from chicken producers. And the ad says, rub a little Eggolatum on your hands, then roll and rub the eggs in your hands 5 seconds to each egg, lay them away in an egg crate in the cellar, turn the crate upside down occasionally, and they will keep perfectly fresh for 1 year.
Wow.
And then it describes it more, and it says, eggs coated with Eggolatum can be boiled, fried, poached, or whipped, same as fresh eggs.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah,
and it would treat up to 50
like...
dozen eggs for 50 cents.
I wonder whether it was like a wax or like how that even – and because Joe has never heard of it and he's been dealing with chickens for a fairly long time, not since 1919, I wonder whether it even ever worked.
Well, I don't know, but it was advertised in quite a few, including a retail druggist journal. It says it's a colorless, odorless, tasteless, and non-poisonous substance. So that's about – I haven't tried it.
Yeah, I guess so. Those are all interesting things. That's why I bet that would be fun to get copies of all of that stuff. Yeah, and that was what I was trying to do when I called there in the first place. And I guess they said, oh, well, you've got to know what you want and that whole sort of thing. And I said, well, gee, I've never been there. I don't know what you got, but I'd like it all.
Well, I have to say the manuscript collections measure, if you measure like linear feet, a typical library shelf is 3 feet. We have close to 1,000 linear feet of material on on poultry. Wow. It includes turkeys, too.
Uh-huh. Well, Joe has turkeys, too. You know, folks, we are just about out of time for this segment, and I know we have more to talk about. Susan, will you stick with us?
I sure will.
All right. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, taste great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, taste great. I love food.
said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back once more to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, before I forget, I want to tell everybody, if you have any questions for Country Joe or for me or for any of our hosts here on All Paws Pet Talk, our website is allpaws, P-A-W-S, pettalk.com, and there's a form right there on the homepage where you can ask any questions. And, of course, if we get any chicken questions or turkey questions or duck questions, they're not going to forward them to me. They're going to go right to Joe.
Okay. And the other thing I want to talk about, too, that I really love getting from Meyer Hatchery is my meat turkeys. And I order those in July, so they're 18 weeks to Thanksgiving. And, boy, oh, boy, everybody comments on those. And yeah. I've always had really good luck with those. And those, you got to admit, you got to be careful. I gave a few to some friends alive, and he called me back, and he says, they're already 50 pounds. What am I going to do?
Get a bigger stove.
Oh. So, but, I mean, the turkeys are just absolutely delicious. And, of course, like I say, we raise them here all natural. And I just absolutely love them.
Now, we had a question from someone that normally doesn't pipe up one bit and the rest of the world doesn't even know he exists. Mm-hmm. But our engineer, Don, had a question. What is the best tasting meat bird? He did not like the jumbo white cross he had. So for your chickens, Jess, what would you recommend?
Well, that's what I would have said. That's the best tasting chicken.
Boy, I love that.
Because they actually have flavor. You know, everybody's so used to the supermarket birds, and to me they're so bland. It's like when you eat a fresh egg compared to a store-bought egg, or I shouldn't say store-bought egg, but, you know, from the large-scale farms. There's just a different taste when they get to eat, you know, out on the range, and they're eating bugs and they're eating grass and different things like that. There's just a different flavor to them, whereas you don't get that from the supermarket. So it is a different switch. You know, if you're not used to it, you're certainly going to notice a difference. So, I guess it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, he said that the molten Houdin tasted far better, in his opinion.
Well, I can't speak to that. I've never had one, but something that we don't offer anymore are the turkeys. But a lot of folks used to get those for a meat bird. So, you know, maybe they do taste better.
Mm-hmm. But boy, I love my white broilers. I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Now your white broilers. Is it a secret which you cross them, how you get to these, or, you know, what the roosters are and the hens are?
Well, I'll be completely honest. Everybody's got their own formula. We breed about 90% of our flocks. Those are one that we don't do. We do order those eggs in. We work with the supplier, so they don't give us their secret recipe. They're very, very difficult to breed, and so that's just one that we'd rather focus our attention on some other breeds. So.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that. Because, you know, I tried to breed these, and you can't. You know, they're just too big. They just, well, basically, like you say, you know, in the book, you know, process them at 9 weeks, and I'll hold them out. Sometimes I'll hold them out to 10 or 11 because I want a bigger oven bird. People ask me for those. So I've had excellent luck with them, except for down here in Florida in the summer. You really got to run fans and keep them moist, you know, keep the little moisture on them because, boy, I'll tell you, they'll roll over.
They definitely overheat pretty quickly. I'll tell you a funny story about last summer. I raised a small batch of them last summer, and there was one that I was about to lose to heat exhaustion. And my mother-in-law was over, and she said, well, we can't just leave it here, so we put it in a crate. And I kid you not, we put it in the car in the air conditioning and took it with us to run our errands. And that thing perked back up. It enjoyed that AC, but yeah, we got it to pull through, and all was good.
Yeah.
Now, if Joe is in Florida, is there a different type of chicken you think would do better? Do you, when people are ordering chicks, do you say, well, Karen, you know, you live in the Boston area, you're not going to be happy with this kind of chicken. Why don't you order something like that, the other kind?
Absolutely. Their hardiness varies. But really we start with, you know, what are your goals? Why do you want to keep chickens? Is it you just want a backyard pet? You know, do you want lots of eggs because you're going to be selling them to your neighbors and friends and people at work? You know, what are your ultimate goals out of this bird? And so, you know, of course, all those factor into what we might recommend, but also where you are. You know, some birds do better in a damp climate. Some do better in the heat. Some can't tolerate the heat. You know, you got to watch out. You think about a cool, real cool climate like here in Ohio. You don't want something with a real big comb because it's prone to frostbite. So you do have to think about those things. And there are breeds that do better in different climates.
Yeah, that's why I stay. I don't raise them during July and August down here because it's very difficult. So I always wait. Told them, you know, before or after. That's why I was after, you know, that's why I cringe when I call up to order my meat chickens and I go, oh, we're out until, you know, and I go, oh, God, you know, because then I'm figuring, right. You know, when they're going to be ready and, you know, the whole deal. So that's the fun part. But now I've got it down. You know, I've got it right in order here. So when I order one batch, I wait a week and I order another batch. So I always got them coming. So that's the other thing. And for the people like me also, I found out you have a commercial program where you can buy the chickens even cheaper. that's
right.
A fun
thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. We'll cater to the folks who are in New York City in a rooftop apartment and want three chickens. Or if you need 3,000, we can take care of that too.
Yes. That's what I like. And plus all the accessories you have. You sell the incubators. You sell all the feeders. Everything. That's the whole thing. People want to get into this and haven't. They ought to call up and get your catalog. A very nice catalog.
Do you have a website that you could list for our listeners if they want to look at some of this?
Yes, definitely. Everything's on there. It's meyerhatchery.com, and that is meyerhatchery.com.
Excellent. You know, it's been so fun. Now, when you have the rare breeds, how many different rare breeds do you have? I know you have Joe's beloved Golden Campine.
If I had to guesstimate, what we would consider rare, there's probably a good 40 different rare breeds to choose from.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a favorite yourself?
Kind of. I would say I have four layers at home just for my personal egg consumption. Out of my birds, I'd have to say my blue-laced red Wyandotte. The Wyandotte breed is just so sweet, and she's real beautiful. She's got quite a personality. So I would say the blue-laced red Wyandotte.
Wow.
And, you know, you could nominate her for Pet of the Day, by the way. That's my website that our viewers might not know about. Our listeners, I should say. Joe had one turkey who was Pet of the Day back on Thanksgiving because, you know, Lucky was not going to be on the table. Lucky was maybe at the table with Joe.
And he comes from Meyer Hatchery as a day-old chick. And, God, I've had him now 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's a real pet. I mean, a real pet.
Yeah. So you the smallest order you would send out is 3?
Yes. On our baby chicks, we can send as few as 3. On some of our different poultry offerings, the minimums vary. For instance, turkeys aren't as hardy throughout shipping, so we do require a minimum of 15. That doesn't mean you have to take all 15. We always encourage folks, you know, go ahead and find a neighbor or a friend who wants to split an order, sell them on Craigslist, that kind of thing. So, but, you know, just based on the poultry's needs, we have to create these minimums. So.
Mm-hmm. Gee. And you got the rare ones like the chocolate turkeys. See, that's new in this year's catalog. That's a different one.
Yep.
And you know, I bet most people don't know that turkeys even come in different breeds.
Oh, boy, I guess. I'm just counting them up here. How many she has? There's 4.
Well, you know, we are going to run out of time for this week.
Oh.
Jess,
Well, Jess, we're going to have
Jess,
back
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And would you come back sometime?
Absolutely. Just give me a holler. We'll come back on.
Hey, that sounds fun.
Excellent. And of course, Joe, we have our normal way to end out the show, and to all our listeners, Say it with me. May the flock be with you.
That's it.
We'll see you next week with Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. Now, we have with us our next guest, which her name is Allison, and she is with us from Heifer International. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Allison.
Yes,
thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, tell us all about you and what you do and the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, people think Heifer Project must only have to do with cows, but I know you guys do lots of other animals, including chickens.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. We're very fortunate. Our history started with heifers. Our founder, Dan West, was a farmer in Indiana, and his first animals that he gave to those who were less fortunate were heifers, because he said that what these what the people needed was a cow, not a cup. He was part of a group that went over to do rehabilitation after the war, and he did not like being in charge of who was fed and who was not. And as a farmer, he said that he could do something. And so the animals given, I'm happy to say as a little anecdote, the cows that were given, a group of them, their names were Faith, Hope, and Charity.
Oh, wow.
That's a nice little anecdote.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But as you mentioned, of course, we have moved on from only heifers to many other animals, to include chickens, which I know is near and dear to your heart, Chicken Joe, or Country Joe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. Close enough.
But.
And how does that work? How do you do that?
Similar to heifers, what we do is we work with communities to identify what animals would work best for the area in where they live. So that might be for as much land as they have, or maybe cultural sensitivities. And we find that chickens are a really great input for a lot of reasons. You know, they grow fast and they multiply quickly. They can provide eggs, which of course are a lot of protein and nourishment for families that are desperate for that nourishment. And then they're able to sell the surplus of those eggs to other community members or at farmers markets, and it becomes a valuable source of income.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Is there a charge for this, or how does the program work?
We're very fortunate. We are we rely on donor dollars. So people who donate to us, we then use that money to train and work with the communities, the families where we work. And then we determine the animals that will best fit them, or they determine the animals that will best fit them. So there's no cost to the participant, but what we do ask is that they pass on their gift, which is a way of passing on the first female offspring. In some cases, that's more specific to like the heifer, but with chicks, they're required to pass on another flock of chicks to another family in the same community, and then also the training that goes along with that. So really, when donors are kind enough and generous to donate to Heifer International, they're helping multiple sets of families and people, not just one.
Well, that's great. Now, how would somebody get a hold of you or get a hold of the organization?
Yes, we try and be everywhere. So we have a 1-800 number, 1-800-422-0474. We're also available online and have a really nice website where you can learn more about us as well as make a donation, and that's at heifer, H-E-I-F-E-R, .org. And we have many different ways to learn about our work. We have a heifer blog that we put up ways that our projects work in different countries, because we work in Africa and Asia and Central and Eastern Europe and the Americas, to include the United States. And we also have a magazine that we produce quarterly called World Arc, and that allows for people to kind of get a little bit more information about specific animals or locations.
Wow. Now, how long has your organization been going, or how did it start, sort of thing?
Our organization is about to celebrate its 70th anniversary.
So, wow.
We were started in 1944, like I mentioned, by a man named Dan West, who really saw a need and identified what he thought was key to sustainability, which is pest is giving an animal, as opposed to just that immediate, satisfying the immediate need. And cornerstone to what we do is the passing on the gift. That's a major requirement for the participants, as well as something they want to do, because the donor, someone who receives the animal, then gets to give that animal. So, you know, they get to be the philanthropist in this case.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with both cows and with chickens, it's not just the eggs. I know that chickens also provide fertilizer.
They do. Yeah. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the children's book, Everybody Poops.
That's good, Karen.
That's right. And they're able to thrive in smaller spaces. They don't need as much space as some of the larger livestock. They're able to consume food scraps. So their requirement for nourishment, it doesn't really impact or impede on the family. And then the chickens, actually, and I didn't know this, but they help control insects.
Yes.
For other types of, you know, so there's a lot of benefits to using chickens.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So
that's right, I know.
And wanted chickens. How many chickens could they get from you? We'll just say to start with.
Sure. Usually the starter flock is anywhere from 10 to 50 chickens. I'm not sure what would make a family get 10 or get 50, but I think that they want to give enough to thrive, you know, that make sure that they set the families up for success. And a flock of chicks from Heifer International to the donor is $20. So for a $20 donation, we're able to then give the training and chickens to a family in need.
Very good. Now, do you have anything else besides heifers and chickens, or are you going to have?
Oh, we have many different opportunities for people to donate, both from the animal aspect. We have sheep and llamas and alpacas and goats. And then we've also started working in the ways of the end result, which is send a girl to school or the gift of clean water, where we work to get treadle pumps or a biogas stove for people who are without or unable to have safe cooking situations. That's what we find. A lot of our community members are walking long distances for water and or timber or wood for their fireplaces. So we want to provide a healthy home environment for both our families and, of course, for the animals.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I know that one of the things, besides providing fertilizer, there are some cultures that burn the manure as a fuel source. So that I'm not sure that would work with chicken manure. Does chicken manure burn, Joe?
I don't think so. I don't think it does. I've never heard of it burning.
So, but I know, well, like cow manure, they will dry into patties and use that to cook with, which is much better than chopping down a tree.
Correct. Both for the environmental degradation, as well as, you know, having that those chemicals in your home can provide, you know, smoke inhalation or problems for children and families. So.
Mm-hmm. And of course, whenever you have poop, you have good fertilizer for your garden. And if the weeds grow extra good, then the chickens can eat those too. And
yes.
Right. Well, and it also works. One of the training opportunities that Heifer employs is kitchen gardens, where people are then able to, whatever vegetables or fruits might grow well in the land. That's another important way that we sustain the earth, as well as have nourishment. And then often, you know, that can be sold at market as well. So it's full circle. We really try, and when we're working with communities, to address all of those environmental issues, nutrition issues, family dynamics. It's a very holistic training environment.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a lot of interest here in the U.S. people applying for chickens and heifers and whatnot?
Well, now we don't necessarily have people apply for them, as you might think. Mm-hmm. What we do is we work with communities who have demonstrated a need and an interest. So usually the community will approach us. And especially when we work in the international areas, our name is a little bit more, you know, they'll say, oh, you work with Heifer International. How do I get to do that? Our program here in the U.S. is a bit different, and it's a bit newer because we're really trying to focus on project work in the Arkansas Delta and Appalachia.
I'm going to stop you right there, Susan, because we're just about out of time for this segment.
Sorry.
Joe is laughing because I always do this to him right when he's on a roll.
Yeah, Karen, you're good.
But Susan, will you stick with us?
Hang on, Susan.
We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. And Joe and I are talking with Allison from Heifer International. And do you know, I know this may come as a surprise to both of you, that when I came to college in Boston, I had a heifer. I made a heifer out of wire for some assignment, and some people didn't know what a heifer was.
Wow. you live up there in New England, so. Everybody in New England has a heifer, right?
Well, they should at least know it's a cow, for heaven's sakes. But you were beginning to talk about the programs that you do here in the U.S. I know that's a newer segment of Heifer International.
It is. I have to, we have done many years of project work here in the U.S., but what we did was we decided to focus on two specific areas, and that's the Arkansas Delta as well as Appalachia, which are high areas of need for a lot of people that live and work in those communities. And so that program is getting started, and they've been working really diligently with farmers and community members to identify what those communities need. And a lot of their work has yielded great partnerships, one in particular with Appalachian State University, as well as partnerships here in the Delta, where a lot of our farmers are used to growing commodity crops, and now they're looking at maybe crops that then can be sold in their local communities for fresh vegetables and fruits.
Wow, that's interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of this before.
I invite you to and your audience certainly to come to heifer.org to learn more about the project work. There's a lot of great information and photos and first-person stories from the people that we're working with.
And I would imagine chickens pretty much are, I know they're in every country in the world. So even if there's, I know there's probably a minimum of space one needs to get a heifer for their community or even sheep for their community. But I would think chickens might be the one that you need the least space to have work.
Oh, absolutely. Chickens are such a great choice both for the space and, as we talked about earlier, they provide eggs frequently, so there's a great amount of nourishment. You know, Country Joe, you probably know this better than I do. What's the average that a hen might be able to lay for eggs in a year?
Well, you know, they say some hens can lay over 200 eggs in a year, even a little bit more, depending. You know, it's about every 24 to 27 hours they lay an egg, you know.
Right.
So, so they're pretty good. Some
chickens. And so if you have a few of those, as far as hens go, you know, you can have a fair amount of eggs for immediate nourishment for the family, which is protein in eggs, as well as, like I mentioned, you're able to then sell any of your surplus eggs for extra income, and that income can go to sending your children to school or perhaps finding medical, if people need to go see the doctor for whatever reason, or even just better improvement to their homes.
Mm-hmm. And plus, with 3 weeks, 21 days, you got other chickens, if you can get them to hatch.
That's correct.
So they're very quick turnover. And then you got a 24-week waiting period, and then they're starting to lay eggs. So it is relatively fast.
That reminds me of a story I had read from Africa, and we had given some chickens to a daughter and the mother and her daughter, as well as a granddaughter, and they built a chicken house, and within, I think, a couple months, because, of course, it's very important that the animals that we donate are well-fed and well-taken care of. So we work for maybe a year prior to them actually getting animals, in some cases, to just make sure they have all the items that they need. And in this case, they were given 10 chickens, and within 8 months, his chicken flock had grown to 243.
And I can see how that could, It's really interesting.
What's wonderful is since that time, she was able to pass on 10 chickens to other community members. And that goes back to that passing on the gift, where people know that because they've received such an important hand up, different than a hand out, that they want to help others in the same situation.
Correct, yeah. Where unlike the heifer deal, you only get one a year. Out of that, breed them. So I would see with the chickens would be a lot better deal.
Mm-hmm. It's very important. It's a great way for people to get started when it comes to being farmers. I've noticed a few of my own friends who have backyard chickens because it's a relatively easy way to get started, and they give you a lot of immediate gratification with those eggs.
It's true. Now, Africa, do you supply the food for these people, for their chickens also, or do they have to supply their own chicken food?
Right. We get them started with everything that they'll need, and we have people on the ground within our, at the different country offices who will go back out and talk with the farmers frequently, make sure that everything's working as it's supposed to. But the farmers themselves then have to provide for the animals. So after the initial amount of training and input to the chickens and the feed, then the farmers are responsible.
Oh, okay.
And they flourish very well. As we mentioned, they're able to take the scraps or things from their own plate and feed them to the chickens, as well as if they have to have any chicken feed to go along with that.
Because I was thinking Africa, you really don't think of a lot of chicken food over there. I've never been there, but it looks, pretty dry and desolate. I don't know what they eat.
In some areas, but, some places in Africa are very, very green and lush and urban. The nice thing about chickens is you can have them in an urban environment. We picture, in my head, large landscapes of farming communities, but some opportunities with chickens, because they require a smaller amount of space, they can actually be in people's backyards or adjacent to their home.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, and especially in some of the cities and countries in Africa that have been through turmoil and civil war, so your city isn't, as structured and as put together as some of the modern European or Western cities, but there are places within those cities where there is bare ground, if there's bare ground and there's people, there's going to be bugs and chickens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Bugs and weeds.
Yeah. But that's interesting. That's very interesting. That's a new one.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
We'll have to look that up after.
Yeah, I've been familiar with the Heifer Project for a long time, and as a matter of fact, in my local church, we have a little plastic piggy bank at the back of the church that I have to explain to new visitors. That's the heifer pig.
Really?
And anybody who says, "What? Wait, is it a heifer or is it a pig?" I said, no, it's the heifer project pig. And so everybody puts their change in that, and that goes off to the heifer project. And I explained to a Korean gentleman who spoke very little English that it's based on if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. If you teach him how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. So that, you know, giving them these chickens, they're not going to cook and eat those chickens. They're going to have the output of those chickens.
That's correct. So much of what we do is for a long-term change in their lives. And that is, it's core to what we are trying to affect, which is to end hunger and poverty. And we're so thankful for donors like yourself and your churches. We're so fortunate. A lot of our opportunities to help come through individual donations. So we're very lucky to have a loyal group of donors, and we're always wanting to tell our story to potential new donors. And I'm really pleased to say that our message and our mission really are able to reach many different audiences. So kids understand it, certainly adults understand it, and then they want to teach the next generation about it. So,
yeah, this is all new here, you know, down here. I haven't heard of it before until Karen mentioned it. It's all brand new to me. So so you reached out into a new part down here, I guess.
Well, that's we're right, thankful, you know, Country Joe, to get to come on and talk with you and talk with your audience.
Well, excellent. You know, I'm going to say it again, Joe. We are running out of time for this segment. Allison, I want to thank you so much for coming on and telling our audience about the Heifer Project, which includes chickens as well as
that's right. We love chickens. And you can learn more about us at www.heifer.org.
All right, folks, we'll be back with more.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet, no matter what your condition, using the bike tow leash. There is nothing like the bike tow leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike tow leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the bike tow leash banner, or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.
She said, "Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be."
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we are very excited, Joe and I both, to have our next guest, who is Jess from Meyer Hatcheries.
Oh, yes.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Hey, you're talking to Country Joe and the customer of Meyer Hatchery.
All right.
And once I was ordering from you, I said, "Oh boy, I got somebody here we can get on here and talk about chickens with."
So, you've got us hooked.
Yeah. Well, you got me hooked. You're the one that got me hooked here, you know, getting all these chickens. I'm buying literally hundreds and hundreds of chickens from you a year. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get you on the radio here. And you can talk to us about your chickens.
That.
What the biggest sellers are, how long you've been going. We want to hear the whole story.
Okay, well, we can start with who Meyer Hatchery is. We are actually owned by a female, so that's quite exciting. Karen Meyer, the creator of Meyer Hatchery, just started this as a hobby when she was a stay-at-home mom, and she had, you know, four used incubators out in her garage, and she just built up a client list, and word of mouth just kind of spread the business, and then there was a hatchery nearby. She met up with that owner who was going out of business, just, you know, was done, ready to retire. And so Karen kind of bought her out and built a larger customer base from there. So that was back in 1985. So fast forward to 2013, and we're one of the leading producers of backyard chickens in the nation.
It's true. And you also have my favorite rare chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many different breeds of chickens do you generally have?
Oh, well, we have over 160 varieties of poultry in general, but just chickens, gosh, I mean, there's just dozens upon dozens. And every year we're listening to what the customers have to say, and really what they want are the latest and greatest rare breed chickens. So, you know, it takes a good couple years to establish a flock and be able to offer, you know, enough to everyone. So, you know, what you might have suggested 2 years might just now be coming out. So we're always listening and adding to the list.
And I got to say for you, every time I've gotten chickens from you, I've always been satisfied. If a couple came through that were, you know, dead on arrival, you've always replaced them, you know, like instantly, which makes me feel really, really good. And I guess that's why I've stuck with you through the years. You know,
yeah,
I just called
absolutely.
Back and never had a problem, really.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, we strive for customer satisfaction, so we do back those chicks 100%, so we're glad to take care of you.
And now, how big a flock do you need before you can start sending out? And do you send out eggs or chicks or both?
We do both. We prefer to hatch the eggs ourselves, but for those of you who would like to hatch your own, we do it on a small scale. So if you're looking for a couple dozen, the breed selection is pretty limited, but we do offer that. It caters to a lot of homeschoolers or, you know, classrooms. We work with a lot of teachers. So, you know, that's an exciting part of the business, but our main focus is on hatching them and shipping out the day-olds. We also do some started pullets. So if you don't want to mess with the chick stage, which is so fun, you can get hens that are about ready to lay. So,
wow. And how do you – now, right. I'm coming this from this. I'm the opposite of Joe. I have not been a chicken farmer, never mind for years and years and years and years and years. How do you even ship live chicks safely?
Well, I mean, the trick to it lies in the chick. It's nothing really that we do. The way that Mother Nature has built them is their yolk sac. They absorb that, and that's their nutrition for the first 72 hours. So we ship out the birds in approved USPS boxes for live poultry. And, you know, depending on the quantity, something that we do that a lot of other hatcheries don't is we'll ship out as few as three chicks depending on, you know, the time of year. So actually next week will be our first batch this year that we'll send out so few. Right now our minimum is 15, but you got to create that body warmth in there. So we've come up with a creative way, some extra nesting materials, different winter style boxes, and even a little heating pad in there to keep them nice and warm. And then, you know, with that extra boost from their yolk sac, they're ready to go. So they're pretty durable.
They are. And also, you offer the gel pack. You got to throw in that gel pack because, boy, what a difference that makes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Gel pack?
Tell us, Jess.
Well, we have what's called grow gel, and it looks like Jello for chickens, but they're attracted to the green color of the product, and so you mix that up upon getting them, and it's just got a lot of vitamins and nutrients that get them off on the right start. So we also offer a Vital Pack, which we have we've designed on our own, you know, based on our knowledge of poultry and what they need to get started. So we can also include that, and that's a powder that you can mix right in their water. So if you think of a runner who stops to drink a little swig of Gatorade to keep them going, that's kind of what that is, chicken Gatorade. So it gives them all the good stuff they need to get going.
And it does work, I'll tell you, because I noticed the difference. When I bought some chickens a while back, they suggested it, and I hadn't used it before. And I said, well, I'll throw some in. I'll try it. And I did, and wow. I mean, you can see it's just a pick-me-up all of a sudden. You know, off they go. So,
yep, absolutely.
And like I say, when I order, I order hundreds at a time. Of course, I order a lot of meat chickens, you know, and really, really impressed with the meat chickens. Everybody is. I just absolutely love them.
Yeah,
And what is your most popular breed of chicken to that people are ordering right now?
Well, I would say the thing that we we sell the most of our, or we hatch the most of, so we sell the most of, would be, you know, your golden buff. Those are a hybrid chicken. Those are small in size, so they're only 4 pounds. They're not eating you out of house and home, but they're producing the most amount of eggs out of any hen that we have. So they're going to give you lots of large brown eggs, almost one every day, and they're not eating a ton. So we have the breeds like that that we sell the most volume. However, we have really rare things like blue Copper Morans, blue Americanas, anything blue that we offer. The blue birds are definitely popular, and we'll sell out of those. You know, we'll offer them in November. We release all of our inventory for the whole season, and we'll sell out of those in a month. So if you want some of those real rare breeds, you have to get in there. So, you know, I mean, it really just depends on the breeds. Obviously, they're rare for a reason. They're hard to hatch. You know, they don't have the best hatchability, and they're tough to find. And so we have to be really selective in our breeding. So, you know, those flocks are smaller, so we have fewer to offer. But that keeps them nice and rare for you.
Yeah, and the Golden Campines, that's where I bought mine. Those are very
absolutely
rare.
Absolutely.
I love my Golden Campines. Now the meat chickens, I noticed the last few times I've been ordering, you've been out. And I'm thinking, gee, you keep running out. Maybe we ought to supply some more chickens, you know, or put some more roosters and hens together, I guess.
I'll tell you, our business has been booming. It is astronomical how much we've grown in the last 5 years. And I think that a lot of it can be attributed to people wanting to know, you know, where their food is coming from, how that bird is living, what the quality of life is for it. I know I just bought a home back in November. We moved in, and so I just about 3 weeks ago brought home 25 meat birds. You know, I'm real excited to get into that and really feel good about what I'm eating. You know, I can feel really good about that bird and the taste. I mean, that is like none other. It really is. So.
Oh, yeah.
As that grows, our inventory is out the window.
It's true. I call up and I'll say, I want another 150. Oh, we don't have any for a few months. You know, I'm going, wow, you know, because, you know, I grow up 100 at a time, and they just go out of here. Between neighbors and friends, they're gone.
I almost missed out, too. I had to watch that inventory every day waiting for somebody to cancel so I could get mine when I wanted them. So,
you're going to expand? You're going to expand on the meat chickens? I think you should. You got to tell Karen Meyer, right?
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I'll pass the message along. You know, what we also offer are the Rainbow Rangers. I don't know if you've tried any of those. I'm kind of excited. I'd like to try a batch of those in the fall. Those take about 2 weeks longer until they're ready. However, you know, they're a lot more active and they're good out on the range. So if you're looking for something to free range, something that, you know, has a little personality to it, they'd be good for a chicken tractor. We do offer those now, too, and those have become quite popular.
Well, excellent. You know, we are running out of time for this segment, but we do have one more. Would you stick with us, Jess?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Excellent. We'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back once more to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, before I forget, I want to tell everybody, if you have any questions for Country Joe or for me or for any of our hosts here on All Paws Pet Talk, our website is allpaws, P-A-W-S, pettalk.com, and there's a form right there on the homepage where you can ask any questions. And, of course, if we get any chicken questions or turkey questions or duck questions, they're not going to forward them to me. They're going to go right to Joe.
Okay. And the other thing I want to talk about, too, that I really love getting from Meyer Hatchery is my meat turkeys. And I order those in July, so they're 18 weeks to Thanksgiving, and boy, oh boy, everybody comments on those. And yeah. I've always had really good luck with those. And those, you got to admit, you got to be careful. I gave a few to some friends alive, and he called me back, and he says, they're already 50 pounds. What am I going to do?
Get a bigger stove.
Oh. So, but I mean, the turkeys are just absolutely delicious. And of course, like I say, we raise them here all natural. And I just absolutely love them.
Now, we had a question from someone that normally doesn't pipe up one bit and the rest of the world doesn't even know he exists. Mm-hmm. But our engineer, Don, had a question. What is the best tasting meat bird? He did not like the jumbo white cross he had. So for your chickens, Jess, what would you recommend?
Well, that's what I would have said. That's the best tasting chicken.
Boy, I love that.
Because they actually have flavor. You know, everybody's so used to the supermarket birds, and to me, they're so bland. It's like when you eat a fresh egg compared to a store-bought egg, or I shouldn't say store-bought egg, but, you know, from the large-scale farms, there's just a different taste when they get to eat, you know, out on the range, and they're eating bugs, and they're eating grass, and different things like that. There's just a different flavor to them. Whereas you don't get that from the supermarket. So it is a different switch. You know, if you're not used to it, you're certainly going to notice a difference. So, I guess it's not for everybody.
Uh-huh. You know, he said that the molten hoden tasted far better, in his opinion.
Well, I can't speak to that. I've never had one. But something that we don't offer anymore are the turkins, but a lot of folks used to get those for a meat bird. So, you know, maybe they do taste better.
Mm-hmm. But, boy, I love my white broilers, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Now, your white broilers, is it a secret which you cross them, how you get to these, or, you know, what the roosters are and the hens are?
Well, I'll be completely honest. Everybody's got their own formula. We breed about 90% of our flocks. Those are one that we don't do. We do order those eggs in. We work with the supplier, so they don't give us their secret recipe. They're very, very difficult to breed, and so that's just one that we'd rather focus our attention on some other breeds. So.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that because I tried to breed these, and you can't. You know, they're just too big. Basically, like you say, you know, in the book, you know, process them at 9 weeks, and I'll hold them out. Sometimes I'll hold them out to 10 or 11 because I want a bigger oven bird. People ask me for those. So I've had excellent luck with them, except for down here in Florida in the summer, you really got to run fans and keep them moist, you know, keep the little moisture on them because, boy, I'll tell you, they'll roll over.
They definitely overheat pretty quickly. I'll tell you a funny story about last summer. I raised a small batch of them last summer, and there was one that I was about to lose to heat exhaustion. And my mother-in-law was over, and she said, well, we can't just leave it here. So we put it in the crate, and I kid you not, we put it in the car in the air conditioning and took it with us to run our errands. And that thing perked back up. It enjoyed that AC. But, we got it to pull through, and all was good.
Yeah.
Now, if Joe is in Florida, is there a different type of chicken you think would do better? Do you, when people are ordering chicks, do you say, well, Karen, you know, you live in the Boston area, you're not going to be happy with this kind of chicken. Why don't you order something like that, the other kind?
Absolutely. Their hardiness varies. But really we start with, you know, what are your goals? Why do you want to keep chickens? Is it you just want a backyard pet? You know, do you want lots of eggs because you're going to be selling them to your neighbors and friends and people at work? You know, what are your ultimate goals out of this bird? And so, you know, of course, all those factor into what we might recommend, but also where you are. You know, some birds do better in a damp climate. Some do better in the heat. Some can't tolerate the heat. You know, you got to watch out. You think about real cool climate like here in Ohio, you don't want something with a real big comb because it's prone to frostbite. So you do have to think about those things, and there are breeds that do better in different climates.
Yeah, that's why I stay. I don't raise them during July and August down here because it's very difficult. So I always wait told them, you know, before or after. That's why I was after, you know, that's why I cringe when I call up to order my meat chickens and they go, oh, we're out until, you know, and I go, oh, God, you know, because then I'm figuring, right. You know, when they're going to be ready and, you know, the whole deal. So that's the fun part. But now I've got it down. You know, I've got it right in order here. So mm-hmm. when I order one batch, I wait a week and I order another batch. So I always got them coming. So that's the other thing. And for the people like me also, I found out you have a commercial program where you can buy the chickens even cheaper. that's
right.
A fun
thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. We'll cater to the folks who are in New York City in a rooftop apartment and want three chickens, or if you need 3,000, we can take care of that too.
Yes. That's what I like. And plus mm-hmm. all the accessories you have. You sell the incubators, you sell all the feeders, everything. That's the whole thing. People, you know, want to get into this and haven't, they ought to call up and get your catalog. A very nice catalog.
Yeah, do you have a website that you could list for our listeners if they want to look at some of this?
Yes, definitely. Everything's on there. It's meyerhatchery.com, and that is M-E-Y-E-R hatchery.com.
Excellent. You know, it's been so fun. Now, when you have the rare breeds, how many different rare breeds do you have? I know you have Joe's beloved Golden Campine.
If I had to guesstimate, you know, what we would consider rare, there's probably a good 40 different rare breeds to choose from. Mm-hmm.
And do you have a favorite yourself?
Kind of. I would say I have 4 layers at home just for my personal egg consumption. But out of my birds, I'd have to say my blue lace red Wyandotte. The Wyandotte breed is just so sweet. And she's real beautiful. She's got quite a personality. So I would say the blue lace red Wyandotte.
Wow.
And you know, you could nominate her for Pet of the Day, by the way. That's my website that our viewers might not know about. Our listeners, I should say. Joe had one turkey who was Pet of the Day back on Thanksgiving because you know, Lucky was not going to be on the table. Lucky was maybe at the table with Joe.
And he comes from Meyer Hatchery as a day-old chick. And, God, I've had him now 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's a real pet. I mean, a real pet.
Yeah. So you the smallest order you would send out is 3?
Yes, on our baby chicks, we can send as few as 3. On some of our different poultry offerings, the minimums vary. For instance, turkeys aren't as hardy throughout shipping, so we do require a minimum of 15. That doesn't mean you have to take all 15. We always encourage folks, you know, go ahead and find a neighbor or a friend who wants to split an order, sell them on Craigslist, that kind of thing. So, but, you know, just based on the poultry's needs, we have to create these minimums. So.
Mhm. Indeed. And you got the rare ones like the chocolate turkeys. See, that's mm-hmm. new in this year's catalog. That's a different one.
Yep.
And you know, I bet most people don't know that turkeys even come in different breeds.
Oh boy, I guess. I'm just counting them up here. How many do you have? There's 4.
Well, you know, we are going to run out of time for this week.
Oh.
Jess,
Well, Jess, we're going to have
Jess,
you back
I want to
on.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. And would you come back sometime?
Absolutely. Just give me a holler. We'll come back on.
Hey, that sounds fun.
Excellent. And of course, Joe, we have our normal way to end out the show. And to all our listeners, say it with me. May the flock
be with
you.
That's it.
We'll see you next week with Country Joe's Chicken Show.